everyone. Welcome to Retire Riverside, where we share all retire stories happening across the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I am your Retire Riverside podcast host. Hi everyone, I have the honor to be on the Beyond Guidance podcast. Muna and Maritza share insight for school counselors and educators about the field of school counseling. With their permission, they gave us permission to repost this episode. Feel free to check out their podcast called Beyond Guidance. You can also follow them on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at Beyond Guidance. I hope you guys enjoy this interview and give them a like or a follow and check out their podcast. Thank you.
Welcome to the third episode of Beyond Guidance, Adventures in School Counseling. This is a podcast where we explore the world of school counseling and remind you that school counselors are not guidance counselors. My name is Muna Osisioma, and I am joined by Maritza Cha and our producer, Bella San Diego. Maritza, it has been a while. How are you doing?
Doing well. Very excited to have our third episode. And, you know, so far, it seems like the two episodes have been a big hit with our friends and people that have listened. So very excited about that.
Well, I mean, when you say big hit, what do you mean by big hit? I don't know about big hit, right? It's a hit.
Well, I've gotten texts, so that to me is a big hit.
Oh, okay. So you got texts. Okay. All right. Okay. I will put big back in there. So welcome to our podcast, which is a big hit amongst our friends and family. We appreciate you joining us. There was a little bit of a gap between episode one and episode two where we got our lives together, but we still appreciate all the texts and people asking us where episode two was. So thank you for hanging with us.
And there was a time lapse. So, Muna, do you have anything new happening in your life?
No, my life is the exact same. It was. It always was. The last time we spoke, I was a middle school counselor. I may be a middle school counselor again sometime in the future. I don't know. But I currently work at our district, and I've taken on a position at the district. So that is the big news that happened between the last time we spoke and now. What about you? Anything new that happened in your life since we last spoke?
No, we're not just going to roll through that, okay? We're going to do, like, applause effects here. Congratulations. If you don't mind telling our listeners, how is the first few weeks of you and your new job, this exciting opportunity that you're creating?
So I have been doing this for about a month now. I feel like I'm starting to kind of, I wouldn't say I know how to do it, but I'm starting to kind of get the hang of what I want it to look like and what it's like navigating, you know, the district level and all of that. Obviously, I'm still learning, right? I'm never really going to ever feel like I have it all together, but I'm starting to feel a little more like I know what I'm supposed to do. So the role itself it's kind of a counselor special assignment. Our district just calls it something different. And we work with, you know, other school counselors. So there are a few of us, and we are assigned schools and school counselors to support. And what we do is we support them with, you know, they're implementing their program, you know, do some coaching, like listening, you know, it's just kind of making their roles easier. So counselors often feel like they don't really have enough time to do all the things that they need to do. And so that's sort of where I come in. So it's been great. Like, I feel like I'm doing so many new things that I'm stretching myself in new ways. So yeah, that way it's exciting.
Nice. I'm still at my job. I didn't change jobs. But I did want to bring up, I saw on social media that for Counselor Week, your district did something for the counselors. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So my district typically will, you know, buy gifts for school counselors. So all the school counselors get it. In the past, it's been like a, you know, travel coffee mug or a bento box or anything like that. So we typically will appreciate school counselors in some way. And we, you know, if I don't say so myself, I do think we make a big deal of National School Counseling Week. We go all out, you know, because it's a big advocacy piece for us. So, yeah, this year they got a bento box, like I said, and just to let other counselors know that they're appreciated. So it comes out of our department directly. It's funny. I was kind of like thinking, I don't know if people really want a, like, you know, lunchbox, but then everybody seemed to love it. So I guess I'm the one who's out of touch.
I think it's also just part that district recognized the week. I think that's a big deal because I know you all like delivered it personally. So I think whenever a district recognizes the hard work that school counselors are doing, that's always a plus and it makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, it was good. Like, I think we split up schools, so we all kind of went and delivered it. And I think it was counselors really appreciated us showing up and just kind of telling them, you know, really appreciate the work you do. And it's one of the highlights of the job so far, just kind of seeing people's faces. And they were just so glad that we were there in person to see them. So that was great.
For my district, it was a lot of our site and students recognizing our hard work, which was really special. I mean, I appreciate all student gifts, but we have a class, those kids, we really like nurture them since ninth grade, and we're in their classrooms and really trying to build relationships with them. The whole goal is for them to apply to four-year colleges by their senior year. So they're juniors, they're my little junior babies now, and so it was the four kids that I see most often that have requested, like, you know, more constant check-ins. And I was in my coworker's office, and then I saw the four kids walk in, but I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't know what's going on. If they need me, they'll tell me, right? And it was very hilarious that one of them came and she's like, Miss Chong, I'm crying. But it was like the worst fake acting crying you have ever seen. And I was like, what are you talking about? What are you up to, child? And so she's like, we need you in your office. And I walked in. It was like four of them representing the class. And they bought like this self-care thing. And I emailed them a nice thank you email. That was one of the probably highlights of my week.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. It's such a great time. I mean, students and the community we serve, they're just very like grateful for all the work we do. And it's just great to be appreciated like that. But I also know that you've had some awards, you know, too, right? Because you can brag on you a little bit. Like, do you have any other news you want to share with our audience?
I don't know what you're specifically talking about, to be honest.
You've been getting approved to present in certain places, right?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
See, do I know your resume better than you know your resume? I feel like I'm over here.
You
like,
probably do.
Looking at social media and supporting you. And then you're like, I totally forgot that happened. I do all these things, you know.
Yeah, I actually do have a presentation March 10th for a Lakeland Women's Conference. So that's why I was like, what is specifically your time? And then, yes, this little big project with my dissertation that is around school counseling. So that's been my biggest thing that I'm doing this semester.
So yeah, today, this episode, we're going to be talking a lot about ASCA. You're going to hear ASCA this, ASCA that. ASCA stands for American School Counselor Association, and it is a national association, and they do a lot of advocacy, and they have these conferences where they have professional development for counselors. They also develop a lot of, you know, ethical standards, a lot of our mindsets and behaviors that classroom lessons are been around. They also have been behind the push to get away from, you know, calling us guidance counselors into school counselors. So again, this is all kind of tied in there. And so yeah, ASCA is essentially a governing body in some way that just allows us to do what it is that we do. And just they have a national model that spells out what it means to have a comprehensive program. And they do a lot of research too that tell us the importance of having a comprehensive program as well.
Hello, we have breaking news. In honor of Women's History Month on March 20th, Priscilla was named California Assembly District 58th Woman of the Year at the Capitol in Sacramento, California. We congratulate Priscilla on such a great honor and achievement. Now onto the podcast. I'm very happy to finally be able to have this conversation. Our guest is Priscilla Grijalba, and she is infamous, at least to me, and I know Muna. She does a lot of leadership activities, some of them being with NACAC and ASCA Board of Directors, and she was on CASC Board of Directors, and she's part of a Sallie Mae Committee. She was the 2022 National Life Changer of the Year. She was featured in national articles. She led her district, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, to the first RAMP team recognition this past year, which was, I know, a huge deal. She's part of Reach Higher Riverside, and that's how I met her on like Instagram and when I saw her at Aska Las Vegas, I was a little fangirled out, like, oh my God, it's her. She's very much a student advocate, especially advocating for students in all pathways that they choose to go to, whether it be college, military, workforce, or anything else they decide to do. So we welcome Priscilla to our podcast.
Well, thank you. Actually, it was the first middle school in our district. So we had another high school that had ramped in the previous year. So first middle school in our district to ramp. I'm excited for, you know, our school and especially my counselor teammate. He's amazing. I love working with him. He's like probably the best counselor I've ever worked with in my career.
So I think most people might know you from like social media and your Reach Higher Riverside account. Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with that organization and how that came about and how that's progressed?
Yeah, back in 2014, I went to the ASCA conference in Orlando, Florida, and I heard Michelle Obama speak about the Reach Higher initiative. And I was so excited because at the time, it seemed like the big push was four-year university. And when she started to talk about more education and training, including everything, and also supporting school counselors, I was like, wow, like somebody gets it. Like that just made me really happy because I personally have always supported all students going on for more education or training. It wasn't just you're going one direction, right? So then after that, you know, I started to promote all the things that she did with the Reach Higher Initiative, like College Signing Day, the Beating the Odds Summit, you know, did all the webinars and stuff that they did for Reach Higher. And then I was on this like mission with my students to win the White House FAFSA completion contest back in 2015, which was run through the Reach Higher team. And we had one of the highest FAFSA completion rates in the nation. And whoever had the highest rates had a visit from Michelle Obama for their graduation. Well, we didn't win the competition, but we hit about, I think, 85, 87% FAFSA completion that year, which was the highest in our county. And we also won the first race to submit contest in Riverside County, which was a huge deal. And we also got a letter from Michelle Obama and her team, like congratulating our school and our students for their efforts with FAFSA completion. And then from there, it just kind of like continued. Like, even though we didn't get Michelle Obama at our school that year, our students were still persevering and they kept going, and just word of mouth, like family to family. And then whatever becomes important to you as a school counselor becomes important to the students. So if you're hyping up more education or training, College Signing Day, everything, the kids get all involved, right? So then I was like talking to a friend who was a teacher at a former school I worked at, and he was really into podcasts, and he'd always come in and he'd tell me about it. And I was like, man, I wish they had a podcast about Reach Higher, like just, you know, helping students go on for more education or training, scholarships, all the tips like that you could just help kids with. And he's like, Priscilla, I'll help you. And I was like, well, not me, like I want someone else to do it. And he's like, no, let's do it. And I was like, but you don't understand, like I had this fear of public speaking because, I mean, yeah, I did it with the kids, it's easy. But when you go like live like this or like talking to adults is a different story, right? I had like gone through some hardships when I was younger, and I got in an accident, had to go through speech therapy. And so I was having a hard time speaking, and someone told me I wouldn't be able to do as well again. And I proved them wrong. I practiced, went to speech therapy, got better and better. And then I started this podcast, right? And so it just really helped share all the great things that people are doing in school counseling, helping students and giving tips. We've had amazing guests from all over the world, including Italy and former Barack Obama's photographer, Chuck Kennedy, and Michelle Obama's team. Like I could just go on and on. I've interviewed so many amazing people. I'm just incredibly grateful. I mean, there's more to this whole story. I don't want to ramble on about this, but I'm answering your question how that came about.
And I think I forgot to ask the most important question, so let me reverse it. Tell us about how you decided to go into the school counseling field.
So I originally am from El Paso, Texas, which is a border town near Ciudad Juarez. And I loved growing up in El Paso because it was a wonderful border town. And I practiced basketball. I was a big basketball fan, and I would just shoot around. And I got really good at it. And I got a basketball scholarship to come out to California, to California Baptist University. And I was able to play basketball for a year and a half out at Cal Baptist and used those skills to then become a basketball coach at a high school in the area in Riverside. And I felt like I was like motivating, encouraging, and counseling kids all at once, right? So if you've ever been a coach, you understand. And they would always come to me with their problems. And like, I feel like I was their biggest cheerleader too at the same time. And I'd go in the counseling office at the school I worked at. And people were like, you're really good at what you do. You should be a school counselor. And I was like, nah, I'm going on to be an FBI agent. I was studying this pathway. And then I was going on to get my master's degree. And I needed a job while I was getting my master's degree. And I became an outreach counselor. Which basically you're helping K through 12 schools. I worked at all levels, kind of like a school counselor, except it was just all social emotional and teaching lessons and classes and individual counseling group, all that. And then I became an outreach director, like in charge of all these outreach counselors, which was a lot of fun. And I just loved what I did. And then people just kept saying, you're basically doing the school counselor job. Why don't you go get your credential? Because I was making maybe like $20,000 a year at the time. And then somebody showed me the pay scale for a school counselor, which was way more than what I was making. And I could do what I love, right? So then I changed my pathway. But part of that whole change was I took this class on the psychopathic mind. And that class just really scared me. And I was like, I don't ever want to be an FBI agent. But I think it just was people pointing out like, hey, you're good at this. And I changed my pathway.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to coming from the coaching world, because that's really my story too. I used to be a basketball coach. So thank you for sharing all of that and sharing your journey to this point. How did you decide to run for the CASC board?
It's kind of a long story, but I'll give you the short version. At the time I was hired under AB 1802, it was an amazing opportunity. Like, I got to be a school counselor and help more kids and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden the recession hit and it was like AB 1802 was going away. So if you guys don't know what that was, it was an assembly bill that CASC worked really hard to get to hire more school counselors. When that started to go away, I reached out to CASC and I was advocating like in my school district and in my school, like trying to keep all the counselors. And then I rallied a community of people like parents and staff members and even students to help advocate for us and sharing data at the school board meetings and stuff like that. And then word got out that I was doing all this. And actually Trish Hatch reached out to me and she was like, hey, there's a position open on the CASC board. You should go for it. And so I went for it and I actually loved it. And if you ask anybody who was on the board at the time, I did more than what I was asked. I went above and beyond just because I love the profession. You know, it wasn't just about my school district. It was about all the counselors in California.
So as we're getting to know your story, you're very resilient and very passionate about school counseling. And if you don't know, currently Priscilla is serving in the ASCA board of directors. She was appointed recently. So if you can tell us a little bit of your thought process of why you decided to run for the board.
Yeah, so I've always been an advocate for school counseling, and I've always loved my job. And I served on a lot of committees, just like local, state. And then I just did it just because I guess I wanted to help school counselors and advocate for students, right? And then during the pandemic, when the pandemic hit, I was asked to be on more committees. And then it was like national committees. And people kept saying, you should run for ASCA, like you're just really good at what you do and you're so passionate about it. And I was like, nah. So then the second year in the pandemic, I really thought about it and I actually put my name out there. And the first year I got an interview and I didn't even get on the ballot. And the second year I did get on the ballot. And here I am today. I get to help advocate and do what I love on the ASCA board of directors with an amazing team. And like, it's just been an incredible experience. So I would say if you're thinking about running for ASCA as a board of director, like get experience in like, you know, your district serving on committees and state like CASC and national, just put your name out there. Right. And like, there's so many great opportunities. Like people just are looking for volunteers. And then from there, like just know that if you don't get on the ASCA board of directors the first time, you know, keep trying. And if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, but at least you know you tried, right? And I could have given up, but I didn't. I knew in my heart that that's where I belonged and that's what I wanted to do. I think I just needed to put in more work and like you know, figure out like, okay, what do I got to do better? So next time when I put my name in the hat, maybe I'll be okay for that, right?
So you mentioned that you started from the CASC board. And then from there, people were encouraging you to run for the ASCA board. So can you tell us a little bit about both boards? Like, how are they different? How are they the same? Are there any similarities?
It's hard to say because when I started on CASC, they weren't policy governance, and I believe they are now from what I understand. So it was really different. So just to kind of give you an idea, like I was helping out with the conference committee and advocacy. We had an advocacy committee that I led with some other amazing people. And now it's like with policy governance, like with ASCA, I'm not helping with a conference and setting up and all that, right? Like it's really different in that aspect and just the way you run things with policy governance. So I would say besides that, it's kind of whatever you put into it. So I'm an overachiever. So I try my best to just put in more work. But like, obviously you have to do what you have to do as a board of director. And also if you're going to run for the CASC board, but like, you can put in as much work as you want. But of course you have to do your job, right? Like that's really important that you're especially committed to what you want to do and committed to the work. It's not just you put this on a resume. It's like you have to do what you got to do to help school counselors.
So if we have listeners kind of thinking about running for either CASC or ASCA, what would you say are like the qualities that a person should have if they're going to try to run for those positions?
I'd have to say, of course, the main thing is a servant attitude, humility, integrity, resiliency, because you're going to have times that are going to be difficult. So I served on the CASC board during one of the most difficult times. It was one of the greatest recessions, they say, when they were laying off counselors in certain districts and different places. So that was really hard. And then you have counselors calling you from all over California or emailing you like, what do I do? Help? Can you come to my board meeting and speak? Can you do this? And then creating advocacy toolkits, right? Just know that you're going to be thrown into things and you have to just deal with it. You can't back out because it's hard. You have to keep pushing forward. And I think that's one of the things I've learned is no matter how hard things are, I keep pushing forward and I make sure that I seek counsel and reach out to my mentors or someone that's been there before me or someone that I know can help me with whatever's going on. So like, luckily I served under a great president who was, first it was Dean Lisico, then Vanessa Gomez, who were on the CASC board, and I could call on them anytime and they would be real with me and they'd be like, Priscilla, that's a great idea. Priscilla, no, that's not a good idea. Like, and then of course you can call Loretta. And then with ASCA, there's people I can call on anytime if I need to. Like, it's just like, you have to make sure that you know that like, you can't do the work alone because it's a team thing. It's not about you. It's about the profession and your students, right? Like, it's not about what you want. You have to think the bigger picture. So I think those are the main qualities, and just continue to work on yourself and check your biases and like, continue to learn. Like, I always say I'm an unfinished leader because reality is like, no matter how old I am, I'm going to continue to learn because I want to be the best school counselor, the best advocate I can for my students. And also I want to help people. Like I want to give back to the profession. So if someone were to call on me about a FAFSA question or something, I went to a conference and I've been there, I've done that, I can help them, or like advocacy, whatever it is, like I want to be the best person to help if I can.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate that about you. I mean, you're showing that by, you know, showing that for us, right? By being here and sharing the wealth of knowledge that you have with others. So you mentioned earlier that about how you got into Reach Higher. I hear something about like a student club, a Reach Higher club that you have. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it actually started in my former district and then brought it over to this district. My students just really wanted a club that supported all education or training. A lot of schools have college clubs, which are great, but we really wanted to promote all education or training. So taking like college, military trips like to the Air Force Base or like community college, career technical education, universities, like that's really important to like, so they have like the bigger scope of all their options. And then also promoting scholarships for 9th through 12th graders was really important. It also started because my students were like, really wanting to help other students. So they became advocates in the club to help their peers go on for more education or training, or they refer them to their school counselor if they weren't sure how to talk to them. And then kind of at the middle school, I kind of started the same thing with my amazing teammate. We have Reach Higher ambassadors and Reach Higher Thursdays, where we promote all education or training. So you could wear any college or military shirt. And we have competitions like monthly. So every week we tally the number of classes that have the most college or career apparel. And then at the end of the month, they win a prize, whoever has the highest participation. So like today, one of the AVID classes had the highest participation, and I went in and surprised them, rang a bell, cheering for them. And my teammate and I give the class an award to recognize them, and they get bragging rights. Today, they got gifts from Riverside City College and Northern Arizona University. And of course, like, we bring them candy because they also get excited about that. So, I mean, it's just a club to help kids. Like, it's my passion. And I think it's done a lot of great things as far as letting kids know what their options are and then helping their friends.
And I think what we all have in common is that we're ASCA affinity group leaders. So Moon and I met through that venue. And I know you're a group leader for post-secondary, if I remember correctly. So if you can tell us about, you know, kind of what that affinity group does for the school counseling profession.
Yeah, so the post-secondary affinity group was started by ASCA, and I just kind of put my name out on the hat because I was like passionate about that stuff. And they selected me, and we help lead monthly meetings on different things. So like Marissa came to talk with Kimberly Brown one time about helping students of color go on from our education or training. We've talked about financial aid, mentorships, and all kinds of things. I don't know if you guys want to pop in sometime. Everyone's welcome to come to our post-secondary affinity group. But we really try to help all counselors K through 12. So like learning about college signing days, career days, all kinds of things. And you get to talk to people across the nation, like, hey, this is what they're doing in New York to help kids. This is what they're doing in California. So it's been amazing because like I'm so passionate about it. I get to learn what they're doing and then like kind of bring it back and like tell other people, hey, you know, so-and-so is doing this in Pennsylvania or whatever. You know, it's really exciting.
So Priscilla, you've been talking a lot about all your work with ASCA, and you are a current ASCA board member. So I wanted to ask you, what do you value most about ASCA?
I value the most the people. Like it's just incredible. Like when you go to conferences and you meet people that love the profession as much as you or maybe more, it just really energizes you. So I look forward to those conferences, and like some of my greatest friends are from ASCA, from school counselors all over the nation, right? I value that the most. And just knowing that we have an organization that, you know, advocates for school counselors across the nation, that's what's really important to me.
You also have your own podcast and have been doing this for a while. What do you find most rewarding about the podcasting space?
I think you guys give back to the profession just by doing this, and people that listen, you know, they get to learn just from listening to the speakers that you have, right? And also from you. And then from the profession, or just in general, from podcasting profession, whatever. I think just meeting so many amazing people around the world, of course, like I get a little fangirlish stuff. Like Maritza, I know you talked about that, like with Chuck Kennedy, who's former Barack Obama's photographer. And like when I first interviewed Eric Waldo and Don Yu from Reach Higher. And I mean, there's some people that I'm just like, wow, like these are like heroes and game changers in education that I get really excited and fangirl about it. Maybe people don't know or didn't notice I got nervous, but like it just made me really happy to meet these people. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities and my friend pushing me to be a podcaster, even though I didn't want to. Like he's really pushed me to get past my comfort zone and like help people and share all the great things that people are doing across the nation.
This is how amazing she is. I know she's on NACAC, which is like the National Association of College Admissions Counseling. I know she's a big part of that. And we didn't even touch on that during this interview. Like that's how much she's involved and of an influence she is like on a lot of people. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, NACAC's amazing too.
Well, I'm still kind of chewing in a lot of what you said. You give us so much in such a short time. We really appreciate you for coming. Thank you very, very much for always being willing to share of your time and your experience and just being a generous person. We really appreciate you. Where can people find you? Like if they want to see, maybe listen to your podcast, they're going to reach out to you.
So the podcast is called Reach Higher Riverside. You could find it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, if you just Google it. If you're asking about my personal account, my Twitter is Priscilla23. My Instagram is Priscilla23. So you could find me on those too. But yeah, I'm pretty active on Reach Higher Riverside. And even though it's Riverside, it's really not just Riverside, it's nationwide. So you could follow along and see what other people are doing and get some tips and stuff like that.
Well, we appreciate you being kind of like, you know, leading the way for us because you've been doing this for a while, right? Podcasting for a while and we're new to this. So we appreciate you. When Maritza and I were getting into this and when we talked about doing this, we talked about your podcast and we were kind of like, you know, so she was like something like that. And I was like, yeah, kind of. And we just kind of talked about it. So it's so cool to have that to kind of opt to and look forward to help us kind of build this. So we appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And I hope you guys reach out to me if you need anything. I'm glad to connect with you and I hope to meet you guys at ASCA someday.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Priscilla.
Hey, everybody. It's Bella. Coming from behind the computer.
Hey, Bella.
All right, y'all. I got two questions for y'all. One, it's nice to see both of you again.
Oh, it's nice to be seen.
All right. So Priscilla said that one of the things about ASCA that she really appreciates and thinks about is that it's not about you, it's about the profession. What does that mean to the two of you?
It's a very good question.
For me, I think I would say it reminds me that it's bigger than me, right? So even though I matter, that's sort of why ASCA exists, to say that I matter, but we're also working towards a profession. So when we create a comprehensive school counseling program, we're using data. We're also not only supporting our students, we're also creating a community and creating a world that allows students to thrive. So a lot of what she's saying is to just kind of not take things personally, but to remember like the work, just kind of get back to the work. So that's what that meant to me, because things aren't always easy. Especially when you're advocating for yourself, or you're advocating for your students, or advocating for the profession, it's never easy. So it's important to kind of get out of that mindset of yourself sometimes and just think about the bigger picture.
I think in similar ways, you know, even when you advocate, right, even though it might be your site, you're truly advocating for everyone in our profession, especially when the numbers come out for the counselor to student ratio. I mean, every state has a different ratio. And so the more we advocate, the more we can make those numbers lower so our students get more individualized attention. And specifically for her as an ASCA board of director, like she can't represent just her students as a board of director, right? She's representing the thousands of people that are in this profession as she's part of that board of directors.
Yeah, and I think that to piggyback off what Marissa just said, it's like when there are success stories or things, or creative things that any counselor does anywhere, right? That could potentially inform the profession. So a lot of the different things that we do as interventions came out of somebody trying it, right? So for example, last year I did minute meetings with all of my students. Well, I learned about minute meetings from ASCA. Somebody came at ASCA and shared about it that they every year they spend, you know, a little bit of time with all of their students at the beginning of the year to set goals and all those things, and that way they're able to build rapport. So just kind of hearing that piece, I was able to bring it back to my own school.
Yeah, same. When I heard a bit about minute meetings, it was through ASCA, and then now as a presenter for the last couple of years, every once in a while, I would get random emails just like, hey, I saw you at ASCA. Do you have this resource for me? Or do you know where I can seek more help regarding this topic? And, you know, it's, again, creating that community with people that might not even be in your state, but, you know, they've seen you somewhere and talked about something that you're passionate about.
Cool. And the second question I have is, I'm going to throw you back the question that you asked her and ask you, what do you value most about ASCA?
So I can tell you what I value is the person that's doing this podcast with me, right? This is how you meet people and, you know, interact and borrow ideas and then modify them to fit your student population. So the fact that we're able to talk to each other and really have a shorthand for school counseling conversations, because I think sometimes in our sites, like, people don't know what we do necessarily. But when you're among school counselors, like, you just have like those shorthand conversations because we're all in the same kind of struggle. And I appreciate an organization that is pushing advocacy, and especially our state organization as well, in the last couple of years has really pushed for us to expand as mental health professionals and really inform California districts of all the things that we can do. Muna, what do you think?
So this is a tricky question for me to answer, because I do value ASCA a lot. But as a council of color, that we have, let's just say there have been issues in the past. But what I do appreciate about ASCA, though, is they have ethical standards. They have position statements. And so that provides a foundation for us to start to do this work. And for those of you who don't know what position statements are, is there are certain things that our students deal with, certain things that our communities deal with, that counselors need to take a stand on one way or the other. And what the position statements are is ASCA saying, this is what our official position is on this issue. So whether it's, you know, supporting LGBTQIA plus students or whatever else the case may be, ASCA saying this is our positioning helps school counselors figure out how to do our work. They also set up ethical standards, like I mentioned before, which help us say, this is what I should be doing as a school counselor. So I do appreciate that about that piece. Because to me, it means that the organization can always get better, because we can always ask the question. Once you put out that position statement and you put out, you say that this is what you believe in, are you living up to that? And just have that conversation. So I appreciate that. Like, I also appreciate meeting Maritza, like she said, meeting me and meeting her too, and just collaborating and just spreading your wings and meeting people from all across the world, actually, because there are members of ASCA who are not in the U.S. So even through our affinity group spaces, we've met some people in places that you wouldn't expect, right? So that's what I value the most. I also value the professional development. So there are a lot of different trainings. So me particularly, I've done the grief and loss training they have. I'm currently working on the leadership specialist training. So those kind of things just give us resources for us to continue to get better. Yeah, the association has work to do, but it's come a long way. And I think with the leadership they have in place and the counselors they have, they'll continue to push ASCA to go even further.
I think Muna brings up a good point, though. No organization in the world is perfect, right? And I think as school counselors, we all know we need to reflect and do better in a lot of spaces. And I think that's what we're trying to do as affinity group leaders, which is how I met Muna, of pushing ASCA to do certain things better. So I do appreciate that that space is allowed at times for us to critique the organization of how we can push it forward and a lot of things that they have fallen short in the past.
I lied. I have one more question. I know you both have mentioned this in podcasts before, and tonight you've mentioned it a number of times, but just to be more specific about it, what do you both find most rewarding about being an affinity group leader for ASCA specifically?
Wow, great question, Bella. I think it's the opportunity to connect with counselors from across the world, mostly across the nation, but across the world, hearing about what they're going through. And there's different states provide professional development and connect with people. So because I have the affinity group connection to my name with ASCA as well, I'm able to connect with certain people where I could say, hey, can you partner with us? And because of ASCA and that connection, they're able to, they'll show up, right? So if I just out of nowhere just said, hey, can you come talk to my, you know, talk to me or my friends about this particular topic, they may not come. But just hearing, like, you know, we have this affinity space for these counselors, can you come? We're looking for this particular topic. I think through that, I've been able to meet so many people and be able to make so many connections. So that is what I found most rewarding. I mean, I met Maritza through that space. So that's, if that's the only thing I got out of it, it's already like super rewarding.
Oh, that's so sweet. For me, it's more of a personal question what you're asking, because if you know me in real life, I'm very shy and introverted. Like, being extroverted, it takes a lot of energy on my part to, like, you know, be like, hey, how's everybody doing? So the reason why I applied to be an affinity group leader is because I knew it was going to be a group of us leading the charge. It wasn't just going to be on me to do all the work. And so I found that very appealing, and I wanted to grow in my leadership skills as a professional. I've been a leader in other aspects of my life, but not as a school counselor. And so that really attracted me. And usually in the last couple of years, my attitude has been, the worst they can say is no, right? You should try. And if you don't get it, that's fine, but at least you tried. So kind of going to what Priscilla said in her interview as well, those were similar reasons why she decided to run. Like, let's just try and see if it happens. And so that's why I ran for the affinity group. And I was very surprised that they chose me. And it's been a great, you know, getting to know different leaders in our group. And obviously Muna, and this is how we shared the space. And I feel like, especially through the pandemic, we now have made like a friendship through Zoom and obviously this podcast. And to be honest with you, I'm very excited of like passing the baton to like new incoming leaders, right? Because we're going to term out. And to have new people come in and really take the baton from us and see how they can push and grow our profession even more. So that's the most exciting part for me. Like, I feel like I've grown as a professional, and I can't wait to hand that over to someone that has a different, you know, background story and has their own things that they want to push through the affinity group, and to learn about those things from those people.
Great answer.
Well, I just got to say that I have immense respect and reverence for the fact that you both give so much of yourselves to this profession, to take time out of your both busy schedules to provide support on ASCA and go to these conferences and advocate for your profession. And that's what I think I got most out of this conversation, even with what Priscilla said. So good on for all of you. Like, it's really inspiring.
We appreciate that.
Thanks, Bella.
Thank you so much for joining us on our third episode. We really appreciate all the positive responses from you. Don't forget to rate and review us. Give us 5 stars because we're awesome. And also, you can follow us on Instagram. We are Beyond Guidance Pod. And on Twitter, we are at Beyond Guidance 2. We also have an email address at beyondguidancepodcast@gmail.com. We would love you interacting with us because I think that makes our show better. Until next time, Maritza, say bye to the people.
Bye, people.
See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.